Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 360 Digitech fourth quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Please also note that today's event is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference call over to Ms. Mandy Dong, IR Director. Please go ahead, Mandy.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and full year 2020 earnings conference call. Our results were issued earlier today and can be found on our IR website. Joining me today are Mr. Wu Haisheng, our CEO and Director, Mr. Alex Xu, our CFO and Director, and Mr. Zheng Yan, our CRO. Before we begin the prepared remarks, I'd like to remind you of the company's safe harbor statement. Except for historical information, the material discussed here may contain forward-looking statements based on our current plans, estimates, and projections. Therefore, you should not place undue reliance on them. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risk and uncertainty. We caution that a number of important factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those in forward-looking statements. For more information about potential risks and uncertainty, please refer to the company's filing with SEC. Also, this call includes discussion of certain non-GAAP measures. Please refer to our earnings release for reconciliation between non-GAAP and GAAP ones. Last, unless otherwise stated, all figures mentioned are in RMB. I'll now turn the call over to our CEO, Mr. Wu Haisheng.
谢谢 Mandy。我是吴海生。大家 好， 非常高兴地跟大家分享我们在2020年第四季度的业绩。这又是一个令人非常兴奋的季度。第四季度我们延续了过去几个季度的强劲的增长势 头， 再次创下了业务新高。
Hello, everyone. I'm very pleased to report another exciting quarter. We closed out the year with another set of record-breaking results and continued the growth momentum since 2020 Q4.
Q4 单季度撮合放款量达到 69亿，同比 增长 29%，贷贷的余额增长到 921亿，同比 增长 27%。财务方 面，Q4 总收入达到 33.4亿，同比 增长 39%。Non-GAAP 净利润达到 13.1亿人民币，同比 增长 155%。
For Q4, total loan facilitation was 69 billion, up 29% year-over-year. Outstanding loan balance increased by 27% year-over-year to 92.1 billion. Total revenue was 3.34 billion, up 39% year-over-year. Non-GAAP net income was 1.31 billion, up 155% year-over-year.
2020年全年撮合放款量2,468亿，这比我们去年上调指引后的这个指引的上限还要高出28亿。2020年全年的收入达到 135.6亿，同比 增长 47%。Non-GAAP 净利润达到 38亿，同比 增长 38%。
For the full year, total loan facilitation was 246.8 billion, exceeding the upper end of our guidance range, which was 242 billion-244 billion by 2.8 billion. Total revenue was 13.6 billion, up 47% year-over-year. Non-GAAP net income was 3.8 billion, up 38% year-over-year.
在一个疫情大流行之年还能取得这样的成 绩， 充分地说明我们的风控系统有非常强大的韧性。我们各个环节的运营效率非常的 高， 我们比以往任何时候都更加相信我们可以保持长期稳健经营。同时这也说明我们的多元化的客群策略和多元化的获客渠道效果越来越明显。在疫情之 后， 我们将迎来更大的增长。
We delivered outstanding results despite a challenging year clouded by the COVID-19 pandemic. This is an important testament to the resilience of our risk management system and the efficiency of our overall operations. We are more confident than ever that we will be able to maintain sustainable and solid growth. Meanwhile, these results speak to the effectiveness of our strategy as we expand to diversify customer base and acquisition channels. We are expecting accelerating growth in 2021.
在业务和财务实现大幅增长的同 时， 我们的公司质量和利润质量 也得以显著提升。我们的科技模式升级迎来了里程碑式的成绩。Capitalize 模式下的撮合交易比例在 Q4 达到了 34.1%， 而最近我们单月新放款的 Capitalize 模式占比已经超过 50%， 利润质量同步得到大幅提升。这说明我们的金融科技战略取得了阶段性的成功。
While achieving strong growth in key operational and financial metrics, the quality of earnings and our overall business also improved meaningfully. Capitalize and other tech solutions set new milestones, contributing 34.1% of total loan facilitation in Q4. Recently, this ratio reached over 50% on a monthly basis. Moreover, the quality improvement of our earnings indicates that we have succeeded in our milestone stage of tech-driven strategy upgrade.
我们不仅单纯地追求这个业务比例的提升，我们还在这个模式下的商业条款和各个环节的效率也在持续优化，整体 take rate 依然保持在4%以上。我们将继续在这个战略上更加坚定地执行，直到把公司变成一个基本纯粹的科技模式。
Despite the rising contribution from Capital Light, we have successfully maintaining the overall take rate around 4% by optimizing the contractual terms with our partner and boosting operational efficiency. Going forward, we are more determined than ever to further advance this strategy to build our business on technology-driven models.
进入21年，在大的层面上，宏观经济和行业政策都处在非常有利于我们的发展阶段上。宏观经济整体复苏的态势非常良好，我们从业务的微观层面也感受到了持续强劲的需求，尤其是就地过年的政策的推广，春节期间业务表现大幅优于往年。
As we enter 2021,On the macro level, we are seeing tailwinds from both the macroeconomy and industry policies. The macroeconomy recovery has continued, and we saw strong demand at operational level. In particular, our business significantly outperformed normal seasonality during the Chinese New Year holiday as the government's stay put guideline increased business activities across board.
近期推出的监管规定对我们的影响比较小，甚至有些还有利。相信大家已经解读了最高法的那个文件，以及商业银行互联网贷款管理办法。高法的文件消除了利率的不确定性，互联网贷款管理办法对我们这种极少涉及联合贷的平台影响非常小。而反垄断的一些规定可能还会压缩巨头的市场空间，从而溢出给我们。这些我今天就不多赘述了。
On the regulatory front, we believe that the regulations rolled out recently either have minimal impact to our business, or in some cases even created favorable environment for top platform like us. As you may already know, the new ruling from the Supreme People's Court removed a more restrictive lending rate cap for our business. The new guideline on direct lending and the micro lending.Have minimal impact on our business, as our exposure to both is quite marginal. On the other hand, China's antitrust and deleveraging push may squeeze some market share away from the industry giants, which will bring us spillover market opportunities.
下面我们多花一些时间来分享一下我们今年的计划。
Next, let me share with you some of our plans for this year.
随着疫情得到控制，经济快速复苏，我们今年会采取较为积极的增长策略。我们过去在线上营销系统方面投入了非常多的高级算法人员，这将帮助我们提高各大流量平台的对接效率，让我们可以更加精准地获取用户。我们在线下也打造出了一支比较成熟的获客团队，目前这个团队每月贡献我们新客交易量的15%左右。我们的虚拟信用卡产品威灵花相比20年 Q3 新接入了超过62万家商家，每月交易笔数达到400万笔。麦当劳、肯德基，包括饿了么、美团、淘宝、天猫这些 都是我们用户非常高频使用的场景。
With the pandemic well under control and the economy expanding, we'll take a more proactive growth strategy this year. In the past, we deployed a large team of senior AI engineers to build our online marketing system, which boosts the efficiency of our interaction with online channels to acquire target customers. We have also built up an experienced offline team. Currently, this team has contributed roughly 15% of the total transaction of new borrowers. Compared to 2022-3, BPocket, our virtual credit card product, added over 620,000 new merchants and processed 4 million transactions per month. Our customers use BPocket in high-frequency consumption merchants such as McDonald's, KFC, 饿了么, 美团, 淘宝, 天猫, DD, etc.
我们发现嵌入式金融模式正在帮助我们提高我们的行业竞争力，给我们提供了越来越强劲的增长动力。我们正在成为嵌入式金融领域各大头部流量平台首选的合作伙伴。原因在于，第一，相较于某些头部或者尾部平台只运营某一个定价区间的单一客群， 我们一直致力于覆盖低中高定价的全客群，逐渐的运营全域客群的能力。第二，我们无特定的电商场景的中立性，保证了我们和流量平台的合作不涉及他们与主营电商业务的竞争。第三，各大流量平台有很强的变现需求，依靠我们有口皆碑的风控能力，合作带来优异的盈利性，也让我们成为同行中 最好的选择。未来每个有流量的平台都会需要金融科技服务，我们十分看好该业务的增长前景和我们的竞争优势。目前我们已经上线了18家头部平台，包括杜小满、滴滴、美团、小米、五八、环贝等等等等。这个模式近期单月的交易额已经大约在10亿规模，新增受信用户在15万以上。 两个指标相比，2020年的10月份，月均增长都大约在100%。
We noticed that the embedded finance model has enhanced our competitiveness and provided strong growth. We are becoming the partner of the choice of this area for leading consumption traffic platforms in China for several reasons. First, compared with other platforms that only serve a specific customer base within a narrow price range, we have been serving broader-based customers with low, medium, and high price options. This has allowed us to build capacity to operate under a wide spectrum of product settings. Second, the fact that we do not operate a scenario-based consumption platform by ourselves allow us to work with other consumption platforms without potential conflicts of interest. Third, those traffic platforms typically have strong needs for monetization. Our outstanding risk management capabilities can generate superior returns for them. This also makes us an ideal partner. We believe the need for embedded finance service will increase among consumption traffic platforms in the future, and we are very optimistic about the growth prospects of this business and our competitive edge. So far, we have cooperated with 18 leading platforms, including Du Xiaoman, DD, Meituan, Xiaomi Finance, Wuba Finance, Huabei, and Simulution, with a few more in the pipeline, such as JD, China Telecom, and China Unicom. Monthly transaction volume under this model reached 1 billion recently, with some 150,000 new borrowers with approved credit lines. Both operation metrics showed about 100 growth compared with the number in October 2020.
在个人消费信贷之外，小微企业业务正在逐渐成为头部金融科技公司新的增长来源。这是一个预计有90万亿规模且50%市场没有被满足的蓝海市场。 这也是顺应国家宏观政策指引，成为互金行业发力的新方向。阿里的网商银行和腾讯的微众银行也做出了最佳的实践。但是我们理解小微业务有非常高的门槛，依托于金城银行，我们可能成为市场上少数能够 获得进场门票的玩家。在风控领域之外，我们过去所积累的资金获取能力和客户获取能力，可以帮我们迅速在这个行业建立竞争优势。小微业务的获客来源分为小微企业、SaaS 渠道合作、线下推广、线上投放三大类。目前我们已经与竞争对手所覆盖的约头部的20家的这种 SaaS 软件渠道达成了合作，包括拥有百万、金蝶等等。线下推广方面，目前在职的地推人员有1000人，计划今年会新增到2000人的规模。所以从小微的获客方面来讲，我们已经迅速完成了从代理渠道、线下推广、线上投放多元化的覆盖。目前我们在这些新渠道谨慎的测试，等待产品跑完周期的风险表现。一旦风险维度打磨完成，配备我们已经准备好的资金、产品能力，我们将快速的规模化扩张。综合我们各类渠道实现的小微业务累计授信人数，目前已经到54万，累计撮合放款超过273亿，再贷余额相比2020年10月增长200%，达到74亿。
In addition to consumer finance, SME loans have gradually become a new growth engine for leading fintech platforms. This is a blue sea market with estimated 90 trillion market size, and nearly 50% of demand is unmet. Serving the SME market is also consistent with the government's policy of promoting financial services and accessibility to the SMEs. Alibaba-backed MyBank and Tencent-backed WeBank have developed some best practice in this market already and created considerable barriers of entry. Leveraging our deep-rooted partnership with KCB, we become one of the very few players that are capable of serving this market in a large scale. In addition to outstanding risk management capability, our robust capacity in funding, customer acquisition allow us to quickly establish a competitive edge in this market. For SME lending, we have developed the three customer acquisition channels, including through SaaS service partners, offline customer reach, and online traffic acquisition. So far, we have covered around 20 leading SaaS service providers, including Yongyou, Baiwang, and Jingdian. For offline channel, we now have a sales team about 1,000 and plan to expand it around 2,000 this year. As you can see, we have established a set of diversified customer acquisition channels in SME business. Currently, we are pilot running these channels and monitoring the loan performance through the process. Once the pilot completes, we will rapidly scale up the business with our well-designed products and readily available funding. So far, a total of 540,000 borrowers received the credit line for SME loans, with total accumulative loan facilitation over 27.3 billion. Outstanding SME loan balance increased by about 200% from October 2020 to 7.4 billion.
除此之外，考虑到今年监管在反垄断领域的一些行为，市场可能会出现一些溢出机会，所以我们的团队还在探索一些更新的产品，服务一个更广的人群，期待今年晚些时候能够跟大家分享。
In addition, as we mentioned earlier, there might be some spillover market opportunities for us as the result of the ongoing antitrust and deleveraging push by the regulator this year. Currently, our team is exploring some new products catering to a broader customer group. We hope to share more updates with you later this year.
分享完我们今年的增长策略，我来回到我们更长期的商业模式升级的话题上。我们的基因是个互联网公司，转型为不承担风险的信贷科技能力输出是我们的必然归宿。新资本模式目前已经上线了39家机构，待上线的22家。20年 Q4，该模式占放款额的34%，最近已经超过了50%，在今年这个趋势将继续保持。同时，我们还将争取继续保持4%的 take rate。为金融机构提供营销服务的智信型产品，在今年1月、2月的各项业务指标 包括交易人数、交易金额和在贷余额，相比去年十月均实现了50%的强劲增长。我们提供风控输出服务的金融大脑产品已经签约了19家机构，累计实现交易金额167亿。随着这些服务比例的提升，我们的非金融收入已经达到50%。
So this is our growth strategy for 2021. Let me now turn to our long-term business model upgrading. Our origin was an internet company, and our transition into a tech-empowered credit platform where we take little credit risk is a natural evolution in our corporate development. Under the capital light model, we are currently working with 39 institutions and have another 22 in the pipeline. In Q4, loan facilitation using this model accounted for 34% of the total, and recently this ratio exceeds 50%, 50. We expect this trending of capital light ratio to continue throughout this year. Meanwhile, we also aim to keep our take rate at around 4%, even with the mixed change. Intelligence Credit Engine, ICE, our smart marketing service product for financial institutions, also experienced a rapid growth in terms of numbers, customers, and transaction volume. Our RM SaaS product provides smart risk management service, and we have already signed contracts with 19 institutions, supporting accumulated transaction volume about 16.7 billion. As this service grew, our income from non-financial service exceeded 50% 50% out of the total.
关于金城银行的合作，将会在几个方面与我们发生协同。第一个是，能够更加深入的参与到我们轻资本模式，从而可以帮助我们更高质量的提升这个业务比例。第二是我们的风控输出项目可以为金城开展的其他非360资产提供风控能力，从而提高我们的整体撮合交易量和科技收入的规模。目前已经有几家大型平台都在与金城银行对接资产。第三是金城银行作为银行可以提供独有的做小微贷款业务风控抓手的竞争优势。所以综合下来，我们和金城银行的协同能够为我们在轻资本规模上，风控输出的那个能力上和小微企业的业务方面提供显著的价值。自从2021年我们开始陆续的与金城合作以来，合作规模已经迅速攀升到贷款规模余额42.5亿，放款量56.5亿，双方的各项赋能也在迅速的开发中。
With regard to our strategy partnership with KCB, we believe there are significant synergies in key areas of our operations. First, through the partnership, KCB may help us expand the reach of the capital light model. This will not only increase the overall scale of capital light, but also help us attain better contractual terms with other partners. Second, our RM SaaS may provide much needed risk management capability to KCB in their non-QBIN related business. Currently, KCB is applying our RM SaaS in their working with a couple of major platforms. The success of RM SaaS at KCB will not only drive the growth of our tech-driven volume and income, but also set a good example attracting other potential RM SaaS clients. Third, KCB provides us a unique competitive edge in SME loans with the access of certain proprietary data. To sum up, our synergy with KCB will bring significant value in the areas of capital light model, RM SaaS, and SME lending. Since we begin working together, the outstanding loan balance under our partnership has reached 4.25 billion. And accumulated loan volume reached 5.65 billion. We are actively advancing collaboration on other fronts as well.
2020年是不平凡的一年。经过这一年的极端的压力测试，我们的合作伙伴比以前任何时候都更加相信我们。我们的合作局面也正在更加深入的打开。我们在这个行业所处的位置比以前任何时候都更加有优势。 2021年，我们将抓住历史机遇，把公司规模和质量提升到一个新的高度，回报股东的信任。
2020 was a highly unusual year. After year-long extreme stress test, we emerged even stronger than before. Our partner trusts us more than ever, and our relationships have expanded. We are now in a stronger market position than ever. Looking ahead to 2021, we will capitalize on the unprecedented market opportunities and then return our shareholders with better business scale and quality.
下面请我们 CFO 徐作利先生给大家分享一下我们的详细的财务数据。
Next, I will hand over to our CFO, Alex Xu.
Thank you, Haisheng. Good morning and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly earnings call. For the interest of time, I will not go over all the financial line items on the call. Please refer to our earnings release for the details. Strong business momentum continued in Q4 and into the new year, as consumer confidence and economic activities remain on a steady upward trend. We have experienced robust consumer demand for credit, along with a further improvement in asset quality. Total net revenue for Q4 was $3.34 billion versus $3.7 billion in Q3 and $2.4 billion a year ago. Revenue for credit-driven service, kept heavy, was $2.56 billion compared to $2.96 billion in Q3. The sequential decline was in part due to facilitation volume mix changed as cap-light contribution increased significantly, and a decline in take rate as we lowered our average interest rate in Q4 to 25.3% from 25.9% in Q3, following the Supreme Court ruling in late August. However, we are expecting interest rates to gradually recover somewhat throughout 2021 as the four-time LPR rate cap is no longer applicable to institutional lending, according to the Supreme Court's latest judicial interpretation. Revenue from credit-driven service was also negatively impacted by a one-off reassessment of early repayment discount. Revenue from platform service, CapLite, was $782 million, compared to $748 million in Q3. If you recall, in Q3, there was a $150 million one-time reversal of previous charges related to certain loans' risk performance versus performance benchmark set by the revenue sharing agreement between us and our partners. Aside from this reversal of a charge in Q3, for apple-to-apple comparison, the sequential growth of platform service revenue in Q4 was approximately 33%. The growth was mainly due to higher volume under cap-light model, as well as better contribution from the ICE model. The underlying take rate for the platform service also improved in Q4. For the full year 2020, platform service revenue grew about 80% as cap-light percentage contribution to total volume nearly doubled. Total non-GAAP operating expenses, excluding provisions, were up 5.6% Q-on-Q and essentially flat year-over-year. The sequential increase was mainly due to increase in facilitation volume and sales marketing expenses. Average customer cost, acquisition cost per user with proven credit line was about RMB 198 in Q4, compared to 172 in Q3. As the microeconomy recovers, demand for online traffic increased significantly, and Q4 was a seasonally high demand period for online traffic, particularly around intense online shopping events such as Double 11. For the full year, average customer acquisition cost was about RMB 175. We will continue to use lifecycle ROI as a key metric to determine the pace and scope of our customer acquisition process. This approach has enabled us to generate satisfied return and mitigate major potential risks. Non-GAAP net income was $1.31 billion in Q4, versus $1.29 billion in Q3 and $516 million a year ago. We once again set a new record in quarterly profitability, driven by higher facilitation volume and a noticeable improvement in asset quality and the subsequent write-back of the previous provisions. For the full year, non-GAAP net income was $3.8 billion, up 38% from 2019. We are very proud of the achievement, particularly given the challenging market condition in early 2020. This further demonstrates the resilience of our business model, the effectiveness of our risk management, and the consistency of our execution. Please note, as we transition towards a more technology-driven business model, the structure of our financial model will also gradually change. With increasing contribution from Capital Light and other technology solutions, total revenue growth may be not as fast as the facilitation volume growth, given the different revenue booking methodology between Cap Light and Cap Heavy. However, the quality of the revenue will improve, and the operating margin should gradually expand along the way. As such, overall profitability growth should be more or less keep pace with the facilitation volume growth. With strong operational results and increased contribution from Cap Light model in Q4, our leverage ratio, which is defined as risk-bearing loan balance divided by shareholders' equity, further declined to 6.6 times from 7.4 times in Q3 and 9.5 times in early 2020. We expect to see continued deleveraging in our business driven by accelerating movement toward cap-light model and solid operating results. Meanwhile, our provision coverage ratio reached 470% in Q4 compared to 436% in Q3 and 401% in early 2020. This was the highest provision coverage ratio in our corporate history, reflecting significant improvement in asset quality and our prudent approach in estimating provisions. During the fourth quarter, we continue to generate strong cash flow from operations at approximately $1.4 billion. Also during the quarter, we deployed approximately $1.7 billion cash to fund loan origination under our micro-lending operation and additional pre-ABS assets. As such, total cash and cash equivalent declined slightly to $7.7 billion in Q4 from $7.8 billion in Q3. Non-restricted cash was approximately $4.4 billion in Q4 versus $4.8 billion in Q3. As you know, a significant portion of our cash was allocated to security deposit with our institutional partners and the registered capital of the different entities to support our daily operation. While we continue to generate strong cash flow through operations, we will also proactively deploy cash to expand our business, invest in key technologies, and satisfy potential regulatory requirements. We believe that sufficient cash position will not only enable us to compete in ever-changing market, but also position us to capture potential growth opportunity in the market recovery. Finally, let me give you some color about our outlook for 2021. Well, we intend to keep our tradition of prudent decision-making and the business planning. We are encouraged by continuous strong business momentum so far in 2021 as microeconomy continues on a steady growth path along with some regulatory clarity emerges. As such, we now expect total loan facilitation volume for 2021 to be between RMB 310 billion and 330 billion, representing year-on-year growth of 26 to 34%. As always, this forecast reflects the company's current and preliminary view, which is subject to change. With that, I would like to conclude our prepared remarks. Operator, we can now take some questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. For those who can speak Chinese, Please kindly ask your question in Chinese first, followed by the English translation yourself. In addition, in order to have enough time to address everyone on the call, please keep to one question and a follow-up, and then return to the queue if you have more questions. Thank you. Audio participants with questions to pose, please press 01 on your telephone keypad and you'll be placed in the queue. To cancel the queue, please press 02. Once again, 01 on your telephone keypad now. First, we have Jackie from China Renaissance. Jackie, your question, please.
对，好的，各位管理层，早上好，首先非常恭喜这边非常亮丽的一个业绩，然后也感谢给我提供的机会。那我这边这个三个问题想请教一下，第一个是关于我们的这个long guidance， 那我看到也是这个全年业绩非常强劲，那想请问一下我们这个 guidance 背后的这个逻辑。 那首先是这个是不是会加大我们获客的这个力度，然后第二个这个我们小微这块的这个贡献会有多少，然后也想听一下我们 Q1 目前的一个 run rate，然后第二个问题是关于我们的获客，那也想请教一下管理层目前我们获客的这个渠道的一个分布，因为刚才我们也提到了和这个一些领先的这个互联网平台的一些合作，包括我们线下的这个团队的搭建。 然后以及我们这个一直以来的这个第三方的这个流量的这个渠道，然后第三个问题就是关于我们的这个take rate， 我观察到我们的 capital heavy 的这个模式下的这个 take rate 在一季度是有所下降，刚才我们也提到了这个 APR 是一个因素。 然后early repayment 可能也是另外一个因素，就想听听管理层，对这个 capital heavy 这个模式的这个 take rate 的一个变化的原因以及今年的一个展望。So let me translate my questions. So congrats on the strong results. I have three questions to ask. Number one is about our loan guidance. So we gave a very strong full year guidance. Just want to try to understand the rationale behind the guidance. Do we expect a larger budget for sales marketing? How much contribution will from the MSE lending? And what is the run rate for the first quarter so far? Second question is about the customer acquisition channels. Try to understand, in terms of the channels, how much will be from the cooperation with leading internet platforms, and as well as the offline sales, and also the traditional online traffic channels. And third question is about our take rate. I observed that the capital-heavy model, our take rate was a bit lower in the fourth quarter. So I saw probably the impact is from a lower APR and also early repayment impact. I just want to understand the rationale about the lower take rate and what's the outlook for this year, 2021. Thank you.
好，谢谢Jackie啊。 第一个问题和第二个问题我来回答一下，然后第三个一会儿请 CFO 回答啊。关于这个 guidance 的逻辑，首先我们是站在一个连续高速增长多年的一个很高的起点上，今年我们依然预期一个 26% 到 34% 的一个增长区间，这是一个前提。第二就是我们认为，今年整体的这个 宏观经济和监管环境都在变好，所以我们将会采取更多的措施，把更多的重点精力放在那个增长的这个事情上。Thank
you, Jackie, for your question. For your question, I will handle the first two, and let our CFO S3 to answer your third question. For the first question, as the fundamental logic for our loan guidance, We are building this guidance on considering in the past few years, we have successfully achieved a decent growth. And considering the macro environment and the industry policy for tailwinds for the whole industry development, that's how we developed this 24% to 36% year-long origination guidance.
在我们过去传统比较强势的做得很好的这个投放市场，我们今年将会继续保持一个很好的一个优化，在保证规模大幅增加的同时，成本依然是可控。相比这个大家可以从同行的一些披露的数据可以看出来，同样一个CPS成本，我们可能是同行的一个非常低的一个比例的。
Well, for the existing customer acquisition channel, which is online traffic channels, this year we will increase largely in terms of scale while maintaining stable customer acquisition cost. If you benchmark across the whole market, as some of our peers disclose the CPS cost, we have very strong competitive edge on this front.
另外就是刚才我们讲的这个嵌入式金融，今年将会在去年比较好的一个开发之后，我们在今年将会迎来一个收获期，所以它今年能够占我们整体这个获客规模的 30% 以上。
Second point, as we mentioned in my remarks, that we will spend more efforts on embedded finance customer acquisition channel this year. Thanks to our input last year, we will embrace rapid growth on this channel in this year. We expect the customer, new customer from this channel will contribute 30% this year.
这个背后还有一个guidance 背后的还有一层支撑是我们的小微业务，我们的小微分成两块，一块是我们基于过去已有的这个用户里面，主要是基于个人信用做进行风控的，这种业务，这个我们可以看到它依然处于一个快速的发展中，那另外就是我们基于真正的小微企业经营数据进行风控的客群。 这个将会是一个更加新增的一个市场。那今年我们对这两块的这个预期应该是能做到 10% 以上的一个业务份额比例。The
third driver for our growth strategy this year is SME loans. There are two parts of the growth. The number one is a transition from existing high-quality individual consumers from our existing customer base. Second part is the newly acquired SME entrepreneurs. In total, these two parts adding up will contribute around 10% of total loan book this year.
我们的风控输出系统将会帮助更多的金融机构去提高他们的交易量，尤其是金城银行。所以这些当这些金融机构更多的去拓展它的资产规模的时候，我们的金融大脑金融风控系统将会提供更多的支撑。这些都会构成我们的整体的交易规模。The
fourth growth driver comes from the RM stats. Service products. As we mentioned in the remarks, we are expanding the cooperation with KCB and ramping up this kind of smart risk management service to more and more financial institutions.
对，第二个问题就是我们获客渠道。对，上面刚才也基本上也覆盖到了。基本上我们现在是有线上的这种算法支撑的精准投放团队，投放渠道。 然后我们有这种占比30%的这个嵌入式金融渠道，我们的线下渠道，我们线下渠道现在已经占到15%，那今年有望可能会更高。然后我们的小微企业为公司带来了更多的新的渠道覆盖，比如我们跟 很多小微企业的这种场景型的 SaaS 公司去合作，跟这些代理商去合作，这些都会增补我们的这种多元化的获客渠道。
As for the our diversified customer acquisition channels, number one is the online traffic customer acquisition. Number two is the embedded embedded finance customer acquisition. We expect these to contribute 30% this year. Number three is the offline team. Currently, this offline team contributes 15.15% of new customer acquisition. Besides that, the SME consumption scenario will be an additional channel.
好，第三个，请徐总回答一下啊。
Our CFO, F3, will address your third question.
Okay, thank you, Haisheng. I just want to add one small color to the early questions regarding the customer acquisition cost. Some of our peers disclose the CPS cost, and we look at it at the same logic and the same methodology to calculate it. We are running roughly 40% below that number. So that's just a small color on that customer acquisition cost. In terms of take rate for Q4, the Q4 take rate, particularly on the tech-heavy side, was impacted by basically two major items. One is really the interest rate cap causing the lower rate, as I mentioned in the prepared remarks. We lowered to 25.3% versus 25.9% in Q3. So that hurt the take rate on the cap-heavy side. The other one is more like a one-off item. If you recall, around November of 2019, the regulator put out a ruling or requirement, basically allow customers to make early repayment without any meaningful penalty in there. So we start to change our practice along with other companies in the industry to adopt that. But at the time, when we get into the like Q1 and Q2 of this of 2020, we don't know exactly how many or how much of the impact this early repayment will be. So from a financial kind of a planning or accounting perspective, we have to put out a best estimate in there. Back then, the estimate was about the early repayment discount ratio we put in as about 12%. And we need to wait for the full loan cycle finish for this batch of particular customer to fully understand what the real impact of the discount will be. Once we get into the fourth quarter, keep in mind our average loan term is somewhere around 9 months. So once we get the fourth quarter, we saw the whole performance of the entire batch of a customer. And back then we realized the actual early repayment ratio or discount ratio was higher than the our estimate in the previous quarters. So from accounting perspective, we need to basically take a charge to reflect the actual repayment discount ratio. This charge amount in Q4 accounts for roughly 170 to 180 million RMB. So that I would say it's a one-off hit to the top line there. And then the third overall impact to the top line is really the mix change, meaning like the increased contribution from cap light and the decreased contribution from cap heavy. We do a back the envelope kind of a calculation. For every $10 we facilitate under cap heavy model, we roughly can make about $3 in the bottom line. But if we want to make the same $3 in the bottom line, we only need $6 in cap light facilitation. So, if you do the quick calculation, if you can get, let's say, 30% earnings growth for 2021, we only need 10% revenue growth to reach that. It's just because the mix change will continue throughout this year and actually pretty fast. So that's why in my prepared remarks, I asked all the analysts as well as investors to change your financial model, to gradually move toward a kind of more capital-driven model with relatively slower revenue growth versus the loan volume growth, but improving margin that drive the comparable earnings growth versus the volume growth.
That's very clear. Thank you. See you, Wang Yitong.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Next, we have Shu from Morgan Stanley. Shu, your question, please.
感谢管理层，感谢吴总、徐总也提到，就是随着这个高法的这个规则比较清晰，我们这个利率也会相应的有一些恢复。那我们现在觉得，就是这个利率回到恢复到多少是比较合适？因为毕竟还有一些窗口指导嘛，有时候会有这种大的风向。那我们觉得多少是就监管呀，或者这个业界比较认同的一个量级吧。第二呢，就是从贷款增速来讲呢，这块我们是如何考虑长期的一个增长？因为会不会考虑，比方说增长跟这个监管关心，因为它也希望大家比较这个理性增长。那这个点我们如何来衡量？ Basically, two questions. Basically, with the clarity on the interest rate environment, I just want to know whether the interest rates and how much the interest rates will rebound, what will be the proper level for the interest rates, given there's still some window guidance and stuff like that. Secondly, on the loan volume growth, what will be the long-term thinking? There's also some, regulatory focus on the pace of consumer credit growth, what will be the, more sustainable, proper pace for the longer term? Thank you.
好，谢谢啊。第一个关于利率恢复的问题，我们在高法之后，我们确实那个从结果上看稍微有一些恢复，但是我们还是要看到长期的趋势，我们。 不管是从监管的期望，还是从公司主动的这个经营层面，我们还是认为公司整体的这个利率会长期有一定往下这个走的这个动力。Thank
you, Richard, for your question. I will answer your first question. Yes, after new ruling from Supreme Court at the end of last year, 2020, we did see some a little bit rebound of the interest rate on our product level. However, as you mentioned, considering the whole regulatory environment and as a company with social society responsibility, we will intend to carry out the long-term downward trending price.
这表现在我们几个新的业务，比如说我们在那个探索更多优质客群的获取上，我们对于小微这个客群的这个服务上，我们在定价上都会。
Yes, we it can be showed on our several new business initiatives. For example, we are exploring products covering more better quality prime clients, as well as you see, we are tapping into the SME loan business. Both new products have a lower interest rate compared to the existing products we are operating.
定价是，我们认为定价是反映我们整个经济模型的一个切面。我们平时日常看的更多的还会是关于这个生命周期价值的。如果一个用户能够给公司带来更长的流程和生命周期价值，我们认为它相比定价来讲显得更加重要。Yes,
we will take a comprehensive consideration when operating our business. The price is just one front. Actually, we take more focused on the lifetime value of a customer.
但是因为中国的这个国情不同，各个地域的这个金融机构，它的和包括监管部门态度也不是非常的一致，所以呢，不同的作为一家平台公司，我们的目的是撮合不同的金融机构和不同需求的用户，所以当然也会存在，有些机构希望能够通过比较高的这个利率来服务，不一样的客群，从而有比较高的一个盈利性，所以我们在面向这些机构的同时，我们也会去考虑服务这个客群的这个需求。
Yes, considering the diversification of geography range and different attitude of local regulators across China, we as a loan facilitation platform, our purpose is to facilitate the demand and need between the borrowers and the financial institutions. There are some financial institutions, they have the demand for higher pricing range. That's why we all cover more broader price range products.
好，第二个就是关于增长与这个监管部门预期的问题。我们依然认为我们目前还是处于比较早期的一个阶段，这家公司。我们相于这些超级巨头相比，我们还是非常非常小的，人家已经是这个几万亿的规模，而我们才是千亿级别，所以我们相比来讲，并不是处在一个监管的一个认为处于垄断地位的一个地位上。
Well, as for your second question, compared to the industry giants, who has already trillion loan balance, we are still at a very at a comparatively early development stage compared to them. Therefore, in the view of regulators, we are not the target they will regulate in terms of the antitrust purpose.
对，另外一方面就是我们今年驱动公司增长的一个重要的方面就是小微的策略，而小微正是其实现在不管是行业发展方向还是监管认为都是希望看到的一个方向，所以我们这个方面的驱动应该是符合社会和监管各方面需求的。
As we mentioned in the remarks, SME loan is a very important business driver for us this year. This is very consistent with the government's promoting policy to provide the accessibility and the financial service to SMEs.
谢谢。
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the line, we have Stephen Chen from Haitong.
Hello, 管理层早。主要两个问题，两个小问题想请教一下。第一个就是关于现金的那个余额，随着咱们做越来越多的那个 capital light 那个生意的话，可能会越来越大。刚才海森总可能也说到，可能未来可能有一些投资或者其他想了解一下，随着那个现金的余额越来越大的话未来对于怎样去使用那么大的现金的计划是怎样？主要如果有投资，有什么投资？如果不投资的话，会不会就是会像其他的同行一样，就开始有一些派息的计划？这个是第一。第二就是关于现在咱们现在也符合回归香港上市，那对于回归香港上市那个计划现在的进度是怎样？My question focus on two things. One is about there could be potential big increase in cash position, especially now we're moving towards capital light. I believe that probably the demand for restricted cash may likely to reduce. And if that's the case, with increasing balance of cash position, what will be our plan in the coming years? Will we consider to pay out some of the cash as dividends like our peers did? That's the first question. And second question is, what is your current plan of returning back to Hong Kong for listing plans?
OK， 第一个我回答一下，然后徐总看有没有补充啊？这个使用的这个计划里面，我们有几个方面。第一就是我们这家公司还是处于一个很早的发展期，所以我们还需要对很多的新业务进行大量的投资和布局。我们上面说的那些，不管是基于小微的，还是基于我们这个科技方面的这个产品的投入，还是基于我们这种新的新增客群的一种新产品的这种开发，我们认为这些都是需要有比较多的这个投入，才能够产生一个更长期的这个价值出来。这个都处于投入期的一些新业务，这是第一。
I will answer your first question. In terms of the use of the cash, the number one very important aspect, as we are still growing our business aggressively, we'll invest in the new business areas, for example, the product development and new customer acquisition.
第二就是我们随着 Capital Light 这个模式的一个增加，我们公司最后的这个资产就会有几种结构来构成。一种就是更最多的是由这个新资本模式最大的比例，第二就是我们过去的这种兜底业务还会占其中的一部分比例，第三就是我们涉及到我们自有资金的这种投入使用，就属于那个三表业务。因为这个业务呢可以很好的弥补我们在这个capitalized 模式下的这个盈利性的一个损失，而且可能同时可以更好的帮助公司在风险控制方面的一个敏感度和能力的这个提升。这个将会是这种结构，我们认为将是行业最终会走向的一个局面，就是更大比例的轻资本，小比例的这个三表业务和小比例的这个兜底业务。
Well, in the long term, we expect there will be a balanced mix for these fintech players. The mix will be majority loan book comes from the capital line model. There will be a portion of the traditional loan facilitation model, and as well, there will be a portion for the own balance loans applying self finance.
为什么要做三百业务？大家其实可以算了，我们自己资金投入这个业务里面去，它的所获取的 ROE 的回报是在40%左右，这个回报可能远远大于我们很多别的这种使用的这种用途。
There are a few reasons to increase the own balance sheet business. Number one, it returns with very high ROE, about 40%.
第三个用途就是我们，可能会有一些涉及到股权投资方面的。一种是我们那个我们有一些这个关联公司过去所做的这个互联网保险业务，我们认为它的发展比我们所自己预期的要好，所以我们有可能会在比我们想的这个预计的时间要更快的去让它收购到这个体内公司来。第二就是我们可能还会在这个市场上会有一些与我们发生协同的一些公司产生一些股权投资。
The third important use of cash is some major equity investment. For example, one of our affiliates, the internet insurance company with rapid growth and the promising prospects. Secondly, we are actively looking at some targets, investment targets with great potential synergy.
对，然后最后就是我们可能会在业务需要的这个相关的牌照的获取上，以及这个牌照的这个增资方面，比如说我们的小贷牌照，我们的这个融单牌照是有一定的这个增资的这个可能性的。然后随着那个监管的这个变化，我们有可能会需要在一些新的牌照方面进行一些布局。
The third aspect of cash use is regarding to the license.There might be capital rejection into our micro lending license or guarantor license, as well as we may consider to purchase more license.
现金的部分和这个香港的问题，那个徐总，你有没有补充？香港的问题你来回答啊。
We will see if our. Oh, yeah, okay.
Sure. Hi, Steve. Basically, Haisheng sort of covered the cash usage, throughout this year, supporting our business growth, get the proper license, get the sufficient registered capital under certain license, and also some potential M&A, although mostly looks like a relatively smaller size. And with all these considered, of course, we're also looking at the operations, because we're expecting operations to continue to generate a very strong cash flow throughout this year. At some time, when we look at the cash position, when we satisfy all these needs, if there's still quote-unquote kind of free cash available to us, we're not ruling out any other return to shareholders kind of activity down the road. But right now, the priority, like we always said, is focused on expand our operation, get ourselves ready for this market. And then in terms of the Hong Kong listing, we are still in the process of dealing with some technical kind of a problem solving. As you know, the requirements by Hong Kong Exchange on VIE structure, voting power and everything is slightly different than the U.S. So we need to make some changes, in some cases some small restrictions, under these new requirements. We are doing it as we're speaking. And those processes take time, because some of them need government kind of sign off on that. Once we finish this technical issues, we will be more push the official push for the listing. Right now, it's still in the what they call the pre A1 stage there. I think we're almost running out of time. We can take one more question.
Thank you. We'll be taking a last question from Ethan from CLSA. Ethan, your question, please.
谢谢关于总。我这边想问一下咱们资产质量，因为我们有报90天逾期的那个 ratio， 能不能就是 break down into 这个 capital heavy and capital light？就是想比较一下这个走势是怎么样。So my question is on the 90-day delinquency ratio. It would be helpful if management can help us break that down into capital heavy and capital light model, so we can observe the trend there. Thank you.
这个问题请我们的 CIO 郑燕同学回答一下。
I will hand this question to our CRO 郑燕。郑总 please.
好的，那个，我们其实，现在我们的低半路催率呢，一直在整个四季度已经降到了 5.2， 对，然后最近这段时间还在持续下降，已经是，我们的二月份的路催率已经是降到了4.8左右，然后回收率呢，我们，四季度是回到了90%以上，然后。最近也是在持续的保持这个水平，甚至还有一点微上涨的一个情况，对。然后从整体的 capital light 和 capital heavy 来看的话，我们的 capital light 的风险会稍微会高一点点，但不会差异特别大，现在是这个情况。我让我同事帮忙翻译一下。
Okay, our last quarter Q1.Delinquency rate is 6.2% and has been improved this quarter. And the last quarter has been reached 9% and improved recently. And for the capital light and staking model, the risk performance of capital light model is higher than risk taking model.
Alex, we heard a little bit breakdown of the voice. I just do the translation again for the audience. So basically, our D1 delinquency at this point is standard about 4.8%, which is obviously the best level in our corporate history. And then the the 30-day kind of a collection rate. In the fourth quarter, we were above 90%. Right now, we're continuing to improve slightly from that level. The difference between cap light and cap heavy, by definition, the cap light, we try to kind of offloading relatively lower kind of a quality assets out. So the cap light delinquencies was slightly worse than the cap heavy, but not a huge difference there, basically.
Got it.
我想那个稍微补充一个信息啊，关于资产质量的，就是我们在看这个资产质量的时候，不能够只看这个结果性的这个指标，这个指标当然很重要，但是我们还想提醒的是，还要结合这个整个的这个客户的转化率以及最后的配合率来看，在同样的这个那个用户规模基础上，就是你最后产生的这个配合的转化率，大家可以根据不同的公司的这个数据算一下，在同样的这个配合率的情况下，如果能够做到同样的这个结果，那才是可比的。那目前的现实情况是，我们的这个客群的转化效率或者说配合率，可能会比我们你所看到的某些对手公司要高，但是我们最后所表现出来的 day one 和这个 delinquency 也会比对手要优，或者差不多。所以简单来讲，就是我们通过了更多的用户，但是最后的这个风险结果表现得更好，这个是一个更难得的一个结果，而且更重要。
Well, I just want to add some color to our asset quality. Yes, the market or the investor will look at the risk management metrics, for example, the day one delinquency or the M1 delinquency rate. However, I want to point out that maybe you better look at the whole picture of a business together with the asset quality operating metrics. Considering how much customer we acquire from customer acquisition channel, then how many customers got approved the credit line, then plus considering the asset quality metrics. In short, we acquire more customers and we have a higher approval rate, and then we still maintain very stable, superior risk management performance. Compared to some of other peers, because they acquire less customer and they have lower approval rate, that's in logic, naturally they have better risk management performance.
是 ，got it. All right, what is the balance? 谢谢吴总。
谢谢。
刘宇森。
Okay. I think that thank you for everyone join us for the conference call. If you have additional questions, please feel free to contact us through our IR team, and thank you. Have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.